now our feature presentation.
This is 1A. I'm Jen White in Washington. Love it or hate it, Zoom has become a huge part of the way we stay connected these days, from work meetings to dance parties with friends and even virtual seances.
If it's playing, watch out.
That is so creepy. Sorry. Yeah. That is...
Well, are you not looking forward to it? I'm a bit nervous.
I'm absolutely f***ing it.
Why?
I really don't want to do it.
It'll be fine. The woman is a friend of mine, so she's done it a bunch of times for me. She'll kind of guide everybody through it. You kind of just have to follow her instructions. Just please, she is a friend of mine, and not that I don't think you would, but please take it seriously, though, and be respectful.
That's a scene from Host, a new horror film shot entirely on Zoom. It's about a group of friends who get together virtually and summon a spirit during quarantine. And yeah, it's not a great idea. I watched over the weekend with a friend, and I was terrified. We're going to check in now with Rob Savage, the director of the film. It's available on the horror streaming site Shudder. Rob Savage, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So for people who haven't seen the film, give us a brief synopsis.
Well, like you say, it's about a bunch of friends during lockdown here in the UK who, like all of us, they're doing Zoom happy hours and quizzes and Netflix parties, and they get a bit bored of that. So they decide to do the next logical thing, which is to hire a medium to perform a virtual seance. And one of them doesn't take it particularly seriously and ends up unleashing a nasty spirit on them. And it's, you know, so it's a movie that we shot during the lockdown over here in London without any of us leaving our houses. We did it all remotely.
So I want to listen to another clip from the film, and this is when things really start to escalate during the seance.
One, two, three.
Are you a friend?
No.
Seance!
Yes.
What the f***? Call it back now.
She's not picking up.
Okay, what do we do?
Just a second, I know what to do. Okay, we just have to do the rope thing and you have to be polite to this.
Hey, you don't know what you're doing.
Shut up, Gemma, just shut the f*** up for 1 second. Imagine the rope around your waist, the rope around your waist. Okay, I'm sorry, Spirit, I'm sorry if we confused you. Just repeat after me, I'm sorry if we confused you.
Sorry, we confused you.
Imagine the rope to your door, and then we're just going to cut the rope.
So I just want to mention for this meeting of the 1A Movie Club, we're going to review Host a little later and talk more about this emerging genre of quarantine horror. But just so you know, we're going to discuss the film in full, spoilers and all, so you have been warned. You know, Rob, it was interesting. You shared in interviews that the inspiration for this film came from a Zoom prank you played on your friends during quarantine. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was an interesting one. Because everyone who we made the film with, they're all the people that I was hanging out with on Zoom anyway. We were hanging out doing quizzes and stuff like everybody. And I'd genuinely been hearing strange noises from my attic and I hadn't checked them out. And then suddenly lockdown happened and I was stuck in this flat on my own with these strange footstep sounds from my attic. So I was like, oh no, is there an axe murderer living above me? So I decided to go and check it out. Unfortunately, there wasn't anyone there, but I looked up in my attic and it was really creepy. So I thought, okay, I can probably prank my friends with this. So I pretended that I hadn't investigated. I got them all on Zoom for emotional support, but little did they know I'd figured out a way to go from streaming live Zoom footage to something pre-recorded. And I played them a clip from a movie where somebody goes up into the attic and a zombie jumps out of them. So for a second, they thought that this zombie child had jumped out and eaten my face off, and they reacted like you'd expect. They almost called the police and screamed their heads off. So I filmed all that, cut it together as a little funny prank and put that on Twitter, and it ended up kind of blowing up and becoming this little viral thing. And it was really off the back of that we started getting interest for a longer feature, you know, more a kind of fictional feature, but using Zoom as the kind of main interface.
Now, I have to say, I went and found that that prank you played on your friends. I'm shocked you're still friends, because I would have cut off all ties with you at that point.
It was... I had to, I had... I had to give them movie roles or else they would never have spoken to me again.
It was terrifying. You know, the film has a lot of supernatural elements because of the virtual seance, but it's also this meditation on loneliness and isolation and how technology can give us this artificial sense of togetherness. What were you hoping to convey there?
That's exactly it. I mean, we were very conscious of, we didn't want to make a pandemic movie. We wanted to make a movie about lockdown and the frustrations of lockdown. And I think, you know, one of the things that the characters are always saying throughout the movie when their friends are going through these terrifying ordeals, they're saying, you know, we're here with you, but they're not. And I think part of the kind of fear we're trying to tap into is this idea that, you know, video conferencing kind of gives you the impression that you're interacting with people and you're socializing with people, but really you're not. Really you're on your own. And I think anyone who's ever got a bad connection on Zoom and suddenly had the call cut out and just been left on your own staring at your blank computer screen, you suddenly get that sense of isolation. And we really wanted to kind of play into that. And you know, we knew that we wanted to get this movie out while people were still in lockdown and were still feeling these things and still, you know, basically in the same situation as the characters.
Well, talk about the actual filming of Host, especially given that we're in a pandemic and a lot of the standard production practices are off the table.
Yeah, I mean, so this was made in June, so right during the height of the lockdown over here in the UK, in London, and none of us were allowed to leave the house, pretty much. I mean, halfway through the production, it kind of eased up a little bit. So we were able, for a couple of the big stunt scenes, we were able to get fully PPE'd stunt coordinators into the houses to kind of oversee a couple of things from a distance. But basically, the whole filming process took place with us all in our individual homes over Zoom, with the actors doing everything themselves, doing their makeup, doing their lighting, doing their camera. And we just had to figure out a way around it, and it was a real kind of learning curve. But also, the great thing about it was everyone in the industry was furloughed, everyone was sitting at home, so anyone with an internet connection could suddenly come and help out and be part of the movie. So it was really about kind of taking this restriction and turning it into an opportunity.
Do you think, I mean, it was such a specific set of circumstances in which to create this film and to come up with the idea for this film. I mean, do you think there's any possibility Host would exist if it wasn't happening during a pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be a perfectly fine, fun horror movie without that context. But I think it's such a... The thing that we really wanted to tap into is that you know, for the first time in history, and hopefully the last time, we're all kind of living this shared reality. You know, it's very weird. You go out on the street and you look, you know, you pass somebody by and you make sure you're keeping your 2 meters, and you just know that they're thinking exactly the same thing that you are. They've got exactly the same worries as you. And it's this amazing time when we're all feeling the same anxieties, and being able to tap into that was something we really wanted to really wanted to do with the movie, and wanted to get this movie out while that was still relevant and we were all feeling those things. So it's, you know, it was a good opportunity to tap into what we're all feeling. Mm-hmm.
Well, Brian tweets, Host was the most frightfully enjoyable 56 minutes I've experienced in a long time. It's available to stream on Shudder, which I highly recommend to horror fans. This is not a long film. I mean, it's roughly the length of the Zoom calls I'm doing every week with family and friends. Was that intentional?
Yeah, that was it. That we thought that it would be really funny if you were getting attacked by a demon and the free Zoom call cut out. So we kind of worked with that as a jumping off point. We went a little over 40 minutes. It came out at 56, but it was really lovely to be able to just let the movie be the length that it wanted to be and have it just be this fun, short, sharp little kind of roller coaster ride.
We're talking with Rob Savage, the director of the film Host, which is available on the horror streaming site Shudder. Coming up, we'll review the film with our movie club panel and talk about this emerging genre of quarantine horror. I'm Jen White. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.
Support for 1A and the following message come from Indeed. Indeed is here to help when small businesses have to be more efficient than ever, and every hire is critical. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because they get you the best people fast. You only pay for what you need, can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/1A. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through September 30th.
Do you talk about the news with your friends, your family, or maybe perfect strangers? You can get all the facts you need to be up to speed on this busy news cycle on the 1A News Roundup. Find the podcast in your feed every Friday.
I'm Lisa Hagen.
And I'm Chris Haxel. We're the hosts of No Compromise, NPR's new podcast exploring one family's mission to reconstruct America using two powerful tools, guns and Facebook.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Join us for the No Compromise podcast from NPR.
I'm Jen White. We're talking with Rob Savage, the director of the quarantine horror film Host. He's joining us from London. You know, Rob, computer screen horror has grown as a subgenre over the years. I'm thinking about 2014's Unfriended, 2018's Searching. Where do you see Host fitting into this legacy?
I think for me, I love those movies, and we've been compared to Unfriended a lot, which, you know, I take as a big compliment. I think hopefully that, you know, hopefully we've tapped into the kind of specificity of what's going on right now, which I think makes us stand apart. And also, I think my approach was always to make the film feel much more kind of visceral and grounded and much less polished. We didn't want this to feel like a Hollywood movie. We wanted this to feel like you'd accidentally logged on to a Zoom call with a bunch of your friends. It needed to feel totally authentic moment to moment, and we didn't want all the kind of flash that you sometimes get in the bigger budget Hollywood movies. I mean, we made this for not very much money at all, and we kind of wanted to use that to our advantage.
Is there something about the computer screen, about that interface, that really opens up new opportunities in horror for you?
I think the thing that you're always looking to do in horror is make the audience feel like they're participating, to make them feel like they're lockstep with the character. And I think the great thing about screen horror is that, you know, even just for a moment, if the audience forgets that they're watching a movie, or just part, that part of their brain just switches off, they can really have an involvement in the scares, an involvement in the narrative that I think isn't possible in a kind of conventionally structured film. It really makes me happy whenever anyone who's watched Host has said, oh, the bit where the pop-up comes up, I moved my mouse to click it away because I thought I was on a Zoom call. Like, I love that. And I think, you know, if we made you forget for a moment, I think that's what found footage in particular can do.
Mm. Well, we reached out to you to ask you to share your review of Host, and here's what one of you shared using our app, 1A Vox Pop.
Hi there. My name is Aaron Sagers, a Brooklyn-based journalist who has focused on the paranormal and the intersection with pop culture for more than a decade, and I currently appear on Travel Channel's Paranormal Caught on Camera. Host is really good, and it's also really chilling. It's also reflective of actual paranormal theory and classic horror movie tropes involving seances and spirit boards. Spiritualists believe communicating with the dead was a positive thing, but there's also this notion that if you acknowledge a spirit or entity, you are empowering it. So you figure a group seance gone wrong is scary on its own, but when it's a Zoom seance, suddenly we find ourselves quarantined in a haunted house. We are locked down with the ghosts, and we realize how alone we are.
Rob, what's your reaction to Aaron's review there?
That's great. I mean, we really wanted this to not feel like a movie seance. We wanted this to feel really true to how these things actually go down. And, you know, one of the reasons that we based it around this idea of a seance is because I've made a lot of horror movies before, and there's a horror movie that I did a few years ago as part of my research, I ended up meeting with a lot of mediums, and I actually joined a spiritualist church for about 6 months and did weekly seances with these mediums. And it really struck me just how different a real life seance is from a movie seance that you see with candles and lightning flashes. It's a really positive kind of affirmative thing normally that people get a lot out of, and there's a real kind of structured system of belief there. So one of the things we actually did is we, as research for this and as a bit of a rehearsal, we hired a real medium to come to a Zoom call and do a seance with our cast and crew before we shot the movie, just to see what it was really like. And a lot of that ended up in the film.
Huh. Well, you know, with most Hollywood film production and theatrical releases on hold, industry experts say this is the perfect time for the work of independent filmmakers to get noticed, especially if projects are low budget or don't have a lot of production needs. What did it take to get you from, you know, this prank with your friends to eventually having Host distributed on Shudder?
Well, it was really the belief of the people at Shudder. I mean, this movie wouldn't exist without them. We had after the prank video went viral, we had a lot of interest from all sorts of companies around the industry. We had studios and all these places kind of bidding on it, and Shudder were really the only place that got on board with just how we wanted to make this. The fact that we were going to make it as a bunch of friends figuring it out as we went along. The fact that we wanted to make this really fast. I mean, the whole movie, from just coming up with the idea of making a film at all, with no script, to releasing the movie, it was 12 weeks to the day. So it was a really fast turnaround. And Shudder, who I'd been speaking to before because they'd seen some of my other work, they really just got behind us and they gave us the creative freedom that we needed. And I don't think it could have happened with any kind of conventional film production structure being adhered to. We had to really figure it out as we went along, and how to keep people safe and how to keep people connected and how remote filming would impact the process. And so really hats off to them for believing in us and supporting our kind of unconventional way of making it.
That's Rob Savage, the director of the quarantine horror film Host. It's available now on the streaming site Shudder. Rob, it was great to talk to you, and congratulations.
Thanks so much.
Let's bring in our movie club panel now. Joining us from KPCC in LA is John Horn. He's the vice president of the 1A Movie Club. He also covers entertainment for KPCC, where he hosts the new podcast, Hollywood, the Sequel. John, it's great to have you back.
Great to be with you.
Also with us from Austin, Texas, is Katie Sanchez. She's a film critic and the editor-in-chief of But Why Though, a pop culture website and podcast community. Kate, welcome back.
Hi.
Okay, first order of business. John, how do you rate Host? 5 out of 5 stars?
I'll give it 5 out of 5. I mean, I found it not only really terrifying, but also kind of the Olympic diving degree of difficulty to pull off a movie like this during the pandemic when you can't be with the actors, you're shooting over video cameras and Zoom. I mean, what Rob was able to accomplish, given the limited technology, time, and budget, I thought was extraordinary. But the story on its own terms succeeds incredibly well. It scared the heck out of me. I watched most of it muted because I didn't want to hear what was going to happen. I thought it was completely successful.
Kate, what about you? Your rating?
It's 5 out of 5. I mean, I was lucky enough to have for my first experience to be our horror movie night in our community Discord server. We all watched it together. It was about 10 folks. Some of them were a little hesitant because they're like, oh, a Zoom movie? You know, this like found footage, screen horror? I don't know about this. And I would say after the first scare happens, everybody was invested, and getting to watch it in a digital space with other people digitally. I did not want to get into my next morning Zoom call at all.
I watched with a friend who loves the genre, and she was kind enough to take a couple of screen grabs of me, which was basically her laughing and me with my face covered with my shirt, like 90% of the movie. But I mean, when you watching it, it really made me think about the way screens make us feel connected, but there's also this deep feeling of disempowerment, right? You can't get to the person who needs you. You can see them, but there's nothing you can really do. John, did you have that experience?
100%. And I think what's really interesting about this film, and there's this great scene in the movie Airplane years ago where the in-flight movies are all these airplane disaster films. All these airplanes are crashing. And there's a reason why you don't see disaster films when you're flying generally in that era. because you don't want to remind yourself of the situation you're in. If you go see Jaws, you might not be swimming in the ocean, but you're going to be on a Zoom call. Right. I mean, literally, as soon as this movie ended, I had to get on a Zoom call. So the idea that you're in this world that is not only familiar, but also inescapable, I think that's what makes it so successful. But the other thing that I did, and I don't know if other people did this, I kind of watched this like the Zapruder film. I went frame by frame, and that's the advantage of watching it digitally. I would back up because a lot of the little scares just kind of flash by the screen, and it takes you out of the movie a little bit, but then you get to see, I think, a little bit of how brilliantly put together the film is, because what flashes goes by so fast, it's literally a frame or two.
Yeah, my friend Kim, who I watched the movie with, she actually tried to access the chat because there were 13 messages in the chat, and she tried. She was like, is that a URL? Can I drop that and see if the message, is it some deep cut that I need to get to? It wasn't, but she tried. Kate, what about you? Did you find yourself having that same sort of frame by frame experience and you know, going back a little bit, going forward to see what you might have missed?
Yeah, I did. One of the things that I noticed, and it one of the issues with screen horror in general, sometimes when it's done, they don't understand the product. But in Host, they understood Zoom. The way that it was utilized to, one, produce scares, but also immerse you. There were different moments where I went and I was like, oh, can I click this? I was like, oh, wait, no, this isn't it. And I know I've moved my mouse a few times. I had to move it off the screen. I was like, oh, wait, nope, that's not me. But I think one of the most beautiful things about the film and the most terrifying things of the film is we've all had a friend mess around with the video input in the back. Mm-hmm. And so there were just elements that stuck with me because of how it was used.
You know, I'm going to try to convince myself to go back and watch it again, because I want to get some of those fine details.
It's not as scary the second time.
Isn't it though? I mean, I literally had my face under my shirt half the movie, if not more. But I think a big part of it was knowing something's coming and not being able to do anything to stop it. And I haven't been this scared by a movie in a long time. John, what was your reaction the next time you had to jump on a Zoom call? Were you kind of looking over your shoulder a little bit?
Well, I was a little bit, but one of the things this movie reminded me of is the Twitter feed Room Raider that looks at the backgrounds of people who are doing virtual appearances. They might be on TV, they might be doing some sort of Skype or Zoom call. Because what Room Raider and what Zoom teaches you as you kind of tune out a little bit is you look at the background of what is going on with people or colleagues you're talking with. And this movie focuses you on the background, because so much of what's happening is out of the person's view, but it's happening behind them. And I think that was part of what was really smart about the film, because just like Room Raider, you're looking at the background, not the person, and that's where almost all of the story is happening.
We're talking about the new film Host and Quarantine Horror for this meeting of the 1A Movie Club. We're talking to John Horn, the host of the podcast Hollywood, the Sequel from KPCC, and Kate Sanchez, a film critic and the editor-in-chief of the pop culture website But Why Though. I'm Jen White. We'll hear more from our guests and from you in a moment.
The way things are going right now, even if you can keep track of what's happening in the news, it's hard to know why it's happening, what it really means. That's why we have created a daily podcast that answers your questions about the news in about 10 minutes every weekday. It's called Consider This. New episodes every weekday afternoon from NPR.
Now let's get back to our movie club discussion of Quarantine Horror with John Horn, the host of the podcast Hollywood, the Sequel from KPCC, and Kate Sanchez, a film critic and the editor-in-chief of the pop culture website But Why Though. We asked you to share your reviews of Host. This is this new Quarantine Horror film. It's available on Shudder. And here's what Teresa had to say using our app 1A Vox Pop.
I'd like to highly recommend the movie Host, which is now streaming on Shudder. And it has a great story, a great script. It's scary. The direction's great. The actors are excellent. It's super creepy, has just the right amount of humor. And I don't think you have to be a horror fan at all to love this movie. Everybody I've recommended it to has loved it and talked about how scary it is.
You know, Kate, you talked about how well Host uses Zoom technology, but it also mirrors the experiences of quarantine in other ways. There's references to couples moving in together too early, young adults going to stay with their parents. At one point, one of the characters makes a break for it to leave her house, but she grabs her mask first. How well do you think the film reflects what we're all going through right now?
I think it reflects it extremely well. One of the things for me when I watch horror, one of the reasons why it's my favorite genre to both review as a critic, but also to engage in as a fan, is because horror exists on this foundation of empathy. It needs you to feel for the characters. And when it's done well enough, you feel what the characters are feeling. And in Host, so much of our connection to them, you're right, isn't just because, oh, we all use Zoom. No, it's because we're all in this situation. I have at least two friends I know who moved in way too early because of quarantine. Mm. And I most definitely don't leave anywhere without my mask. And it's one of those things where when you look at how this moment in time has impacted us, this has become a new latch point for horror to enter. Because it's a new way of, a new way of life, a new way of us interacting with the medium of horror. And I can't wait to see more things in horror and in other genres start to take into account the way we're living now. And I think for me, one of the most important things about this film when it comes to representing what it's like to be in quarantine is the fact that even when the friend attempts to leave and go save the friend, you still feel this large disconnect. She can't get there in time. She, you know, you don't know. And she stays on the Zoom call.
Yeah.
There's this tether between us and our electronic devices and the programs that we're running, the apps that we're using to connect to people that I don't think we're ever going to really let go of now, especially now that it's become our only lifeline to the people we love and care about.
Well, we did some crowdsourcing. We asked what makes a good horror movie, and here's what you told us. You said it has to scare the audience with more than just jump scares, let the audience figure stuff out for themselves, always show the monster, don't spare the innocent, let the quiet be your soundtrack, limit characters' dumb decisions, don't give everything away in your trailer. John, I mean, horror movies are sometimes thought of like a recipe. If you have the right ingredients, you'll have a successful result. But to you, what are those essential ingredients and how does Host stack up?
Well, I think one of the things that's important in horror is that it has to make sense. And obviously, it's fiction and obviously a lot of it is imagined. But you know, one of the problems I have found with found footage movies is like, who found it? Like, where was it? It's sometimes the math has to really make sense. And obviously Host is like, well, this is a Zoom call. You can say to yourself, well, who recorded it or how did we get it? But that doesn't matter because the math of it feels logical. It makes sense. It doesn't require a huge leap, even if what happens inside the film is really over the top. And I want to come back to what we were just talking about. I mean, the idea that everything outside our door is a real life horror story, I think is really important. I wake up every morning, I don't check the weather. I check the air quality index forecast. Mm-hmm. I am inside a studio at KPCC where we have state-of-the-art air circulation and filtering. It smells like a campfire in here. Mm-hmm. So everything outside our doors is terrifying. And so we get into this place where we can experience somebody else being scared, and we know that we're okay, I think that's also really important. And I think that's how good horror movies work. They scare the heck out of us, but it doesn't feel like we are in danger at the end of the film.
Kate, what about for you? What are some of those essential ingredients?
For me, it's kind of letting your scares breathe, trusting your audience to be able to piece things together. I think my main gripe with horror movies is too much exposition, too much explanation of things, and just kind of trusting your audience to buy into it. And I think one of the larger pieces for horror to me is I want it, I'm a little bit of the opposite where not necessarily I don't want to feel endangered, but I want to feel like I'm impacted by the story. Like as I'm going on this ride with this character, as much as I'm scared by it, as much as I'm moved, I want to be moved by it in different ways. And I think horror, especially with the films that have been getting green light, and there's this ride, and I don't want to say say a rise because there's social horror has always been a thing. But for me, I think this pivot towards embracing more social horror that's doing a lot more of throwing people into the thick of it where you leave and you're like, oh, crap, am I actually, could I be a villain in this? Could I, you know, I think the ability to position yourself in horror both as the antagonist and the protagonist are two really unique things that are coming out of this current wave of horror. That for me is something that I'm starting to look for.
Well, Alejandra emailed, I have yet to see these quarantine horror films, but I find myself gravitating towards horror podcasts, such as The Magnus Archives or Alice Isn't Dead. Something about the feeling of fear and anxiety over something fictional that I could turn off as soon as the podcast was over has felt very calmly, weirdly enough. Very calming, weirdly enough. Alejandra, I hear you. I've been listening a lot to the Spooked podcast from the folks over at Snap Judgment. Now, Kate, earlier we asked host director Rob Savage about how the film fits into the subgenre of computer screen horror and found footage horror. And in your view, how does this film stack up against some of the films in those subgenres that have come before it?
Man, I think the fact that that it's such a short runtime actually really helps push the genre a bit. And I think one of the things for me is it's such a well done film. The execution, the acting, like there's nothing wrong with this film, like at all. And I mean, as a critic, I try very hard to at least find something that can improve. But for me, this is probably one of the few perfect horror films that I've seen this year. And when I think about this against the larger genre, is found footage as it stands within the horror community and outside of the horror community, it's kind of maligned a lot because there have been some pretty bad ones, but there have been gems that a lot of people just don't get their eyes on. So what I'm hoping that this is going to do is as one of those gems that is connecting to people in this cultural moment, that it's actually going to reinvigorate the found footage genre, that is going to reinvigorate screen horror. And I mean, unfortunately, the pandemic isn't going anywhere, so I'm hoping that this is going to be the launching pad for more filmmakers to embrace this type of storytelling and hopefully, you know, put their own unique twist on it. So when I think about where it sits kind of in this trajectory or in this history of found footage to screen, is I think that it's a new leg of the journey, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, we're seeing these short films like Stay at Home and Wrath making their way onto YouTube, and they kind of double as a PSA to stay safe during the pandemic. There's also a full-length horror anthology film called Isolation that's currently wrapping up post-production. I'm curious, John, where do you see quarantine art going from here?
Well, I think one of the things that is the bigger issue that we haven't really talked about is what's not happening. People aren't going to movie theaters. So they're not seeing, you know, the latest Fast and Furious sequel or the latest James Bond sequel or Wonder Woman 1984 has been postponed again. So in a way, audiences have this great opportunity to discover films like Host on a site, Shudder, that a lot of people haven't heard of. I mean, it's relatively new. So I think one of the things that's really important is this is a great moment for interesting and creative independent filmmakers to get heard. And a movie like this, in a normal world, maybe it doesn't get noticed as much. I think the same could be said of a movie we talked about a couple months ago on 1A Movie Club, Vast of Night from Andrew Patterson on Amazon. I think there's a real opportunity for interesting and original filmmakers to get heard. And with all of the noise that typically would surround theatrical releases, were it not a pandemic, those movies wouldn't get heard. And I think that is one of the great things that's happening. It's horrible to say, you know, in the midst of a pandemic when people are dying, but it has allowed some original artists to find a way to get their stories told. And I think that's something I'm really optimistic and excited about going forward.
Well, a couple of quick messages here. One listener tweets, I'm a short filmmaker and have made 5 short films since March 13th after a dry spell of 3 years. I'm 76 years old and I die in most of them. Ashley tweets, I very much disagree to always show the monster. I think you should rarely, if ever, show what it is that's so scary. Think Hereditary, Lovely Molly, let the audience decide what's terrifying. We've got about 30 seconds here. John wants to you each to recommend some of your favorite horror films. Kate, real quickly.
Yeah, to stick with the Shudder theme, there's a film called La Llorona from Guatemala that is currently on Shudder that is phenomenal, as well as Tigers Are Not Afraid and Terrified. Those are three Latin American horror films that I need everybody to get more eyes on.
John, what about you?
I'm going to go with an old one. I'm going to say go watch Contagion. If you haven't seen Steven Soderbergh's film from 9 years ago, it is as scary as any other movie. It's so spot on about what is happening right now. It feels like an odd pick, but Steven Soderbergh's Contagion is one of the scariest movies you can watch.
But we'll tweet out all those recommendations at 1A. John Horn covers entertainment for KPCC, where he hosts the new podcast, Hollywood the Sequel. He's also the vice president of the 1A Movie Club. John, it was great to have you. And Kate Sanchez is a film critic and the editor-in-chief of But Why Though, a self-proclaimed geek community and pop culture website. Kate, thanks. This conversation was produced by Catherine Fink and edited by Matthew Simonson. To learn more about them and the rest of the team, visit the1a.org. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. I'm Jen White. Thanks so much for listening, and let's talk again tomorrow. This is 1A.